Going to be reading a verse this evening out of Luke chapter 11. So the Gospel of Luke chapter 11. And while you're turning there, I just want to say that I appreciate coming on and listening. And I want to say I appreciate everyone that prayed for me as I was sick and still not at 100% yet, but feeling a lot better, definitely, than I was feeling. But do continue to pray for me, if you will. Lord, continue to help us just to kind of continue to get over the rest of the little lingering things that always come after being sick, tiredness and things like that. So I would really appreciate it. It'd be a blessing. But I want to say we miss everybody, miss seeing everybody Sunday, and miss everybody tonight. And looking forward to the days we can get back to being in worship together and service together and get back to doing the Lord's work. And of course, we're still doing the Lord's work, just not in the ways that we were doing it before. And the Lord's work is still going on. And so we're thankful for that. But just looking forward to, I guess, getting back to some normalcy of maybe what we used to, what things we used to do. But I will say this. I hope that things will, if the Lord will allow, I do hope that things will get back to the way where we can be in church together and things like that. Of course, that's not always promised. I mean, nothing's promised to us, and we don't know what the Lord's will is. But we, you know, we hope and pray, but looking for the Lord's will. But I will say this. I hope that after everything is over, if things do kind of get back to a degree of what we would call normal, I hope that I'm never normal again, and I hope that I'm never the same again. I hope that the Lord will use these days, and I pray the Lord to use these days in my life to really draw me near to Him and to help me in a mighty way, and to help me to never be the same when this is said and done, that I could look back on these days and say, boy, the Lord really worked in my life in those days. And just as we preached, I guess maybe a week or so ago, you know, dealing with redeeming this time. And I pray that Lord will help us to redeem this time, and He could really use it in a mighty way. So, but I do want to say we miss y'all, and we love y'all, and are praying for you, and even praying for you even now as we're preaching. And so I do want to give you a thought here out of Luke chapter 11, and pray that it'll be a blessing and a help to us in these days. And I'm going to read the first 13 verses of this chapter. Now, I really am only going to be looking at one verse here and drawing some thoughts, but I want to read several verses to kind of get a lot of the teaching of the chapter. It's such a rich little passage here that the Lord has given us to us in His Word. So the Bible says in verse 1, Luke 11, 1, "And it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And He said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, let me lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey, he's come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that seeketh, asketh, receiveth, he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If he then, being evil, If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And I'm really interested in verse 1 and want to draw out some thoughts out of verse 1 that I pray will be a blessing. But I want to read the whole passage because it's such a tremendous passage dealing with prayer. And there's really so much that could be preached and taught and said throughout this whole passage. And it's really something to think on and meditate upon. And I hope that later, you know, maybe even after we're done preaching, you'll keep your Bible out and you'll read through this passage and you'll meditate on it and think upon it. You'll read it slowly and carefully and let the Lord speak to your heart, because there's so much good teaching dealing specifically with prayer. Now, I'm going to give some thoughts tonight out of verse 1, where it says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples." And so that's the verse I'm going to be really looking at, and we'll look at some thoughts, maybe not specifically dealing with prayer, but that's what the whole passage is dealing with. It's dealing with prayer and our prayer lives. And but what we see in verse 1 is we see a request where one of his disciples, the Bible says there, said unto the Lord, he asked him, requested unto him, he said, "Teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples." And so we see a request here. And really that's what started the whole dialogue with the Lord teaching there about prayer. It started with that request. And somebody seeking of the Lord and asking of the Lord. And of course the Lord goes on to say, knock and it shall be opened, seek and ye shall find. And so him saying that started with somebody seeking. And somebody was seeking help, seeking answers, and seeking some wisdom, and that's what started the Lord giving it to them. And so the Lord's never hid anything from us. He's never keeping anything from us. We're just as spiritual as we want to be, and we're just as close to the Lord as we want to be. And so we'll draw close to Him when we start seeking Him. And we'll get, the closer we get is generally, it's going to be the result of, the closer we get, it's going to be the result of how much we seek Him. And so it starts with this request, but I want to look at verse 1 and look at this request and give some thoughts with the Lord's help. So first of all, it was a sparked request. In other words, something sparked this disciple, and it may name him in one of the other Gospels, I don't know, but right here it does not name which disciple it was, but one of these disciples, something piqued his interest, and something sparked him, and something stimulated him, and caused him to ask the Lord, and request to the Lord, petition the Lord to teach them to pray. Well, you say, what was it? Well, it says it right there. It says, as he was praying. Then it says, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto them. So Jesus was praying, and his disciples, he was in a certain place, and he was praying, and his disciples, or this particular disciple anyways, saw him praying, and it sparked him to desire for the Lord to teach him to pray, teach the other disciples to pray, to be taught about prayer. And I see just a very practical application there. Of course, this is the Lord, but in application to us, we should live in such a way that piques interest and sparks interest and causes other people to want to live godly, to want to live more godly, and want to live more dedicated. Now, you and I have both got people in our lives. Probably right now, and if not right now, we have before. We've got people in our lives that are two different ways. We've got two different kinds of people in our lives. There are those people in your life that cause you to want to be more spiritual. I mean, you just get around them, and you're in their presence, and just their lifestyle, just their life, the way they live, and the Spirit of God working their life, they're a blessing to be around. They're a pleasure to be around. And you being around them, that iron sharpens iron, and it causes you to want to be more spiritual like them. It causes you, it encourages you, it stimulates you spiritually. And then we've got the other kind of people that they dull us spiritually. They deaden us spiritually, and they don't cause us to want to be more spiritual. We've all got people in our lives, friends and family, and that always gets back to why we should be very careful on who we yoke up with and things like that, because who we do associate with, you know, is going to affect us so much spiritually. But my point is this. We've got people in our lives that make us want to be more spiritual and help us spiritually. We ought to want to be that for somebody else. Because whenever I say that, whenever I talk about that person that makes you want to be more spiritual, usually there's somebody that comes to mind. You could probably name somebody right now by name, and you'd say, this person always makes me want to be more spiritual when I'm around them. Whenever I'm with them, after they're gone, after they leave, I am very inspired, and I feel like I could do more for the Lord. And you could probably name that person by name. Well, here's the thing. Do you not want to be that for somebody else? Do you not want in somebody else's mind, when somebody's thinking of someone that makes them feel the desire to be spiritual and to be more dedicated and draw near to God, do you not want your name to come to mind? And do we not want our lives to spark interest for people to seek the Lord? We want to draw near to the Lord. So too often, though, it's, you know, God's people, they're examples of deficiency rather than devotion. But we've seen that in these days and what's going on. We've really seen examples of the deficiency of people that would be considered spiritual people. I mean, it seems like people's faith has just gone out the window, and people seem like people are so full of fear. I'm talking about church people, supposed to be godly people. And so many times that is the example, when really what should be happening right now is the world ought to be looking at every saved person, every Christian person. They ought to be able to look at us, look at our church, and see just a tremendous example of spirituality in the way we are handling all the uncertainty and all the things that are going on around us. Boy, we ought to be beacons of hope. Now, whether they accept or reject Christ through it all, that's completely up to them. But there ought to be something in our lives. It ought to be all over us that we are spirit-filled, spirit-led, spirit-controlled. We're not losing our minds. We're not gripped with fear. We're not terrified and worried about walking outside without, you know, catching the coronavirus. I mean, we ought to be a picture of spirituality. And that type of thing, what that does is that sparks interest. It sparks the request. And that's certainly what happened with this disciple. It was a sparked request. He saw the Lord praying, and it made him want to learn to pray the way the Lord is. And so not only was it a sparked request, but then also this request of the Lord was a superior request. He said, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, we ask the Lord for a lot. A lot of times we ask the Lord, we pray, I pray, I ask the Lord for things. And the thing is, the things we pray for and things we ask for, they're always things that we think we need, always. But let me ask you this, when's the last time you stopped and knelt down, got in a secret place, got along with God, and just sincerely laid on the altar and said, Lord, will you please teach me to pray? Lord, will you help me to pray? Now, we've done that a lot when there's a crisis in our life. We get alone with God and we're praying, you know, Lord, I've got this need and I need you to meet this need. Lord, please, I just want to lay it on the altar and I want you to take over and take control. Lord, I'm just praying for your will, you know. If somebody's sick or if there's a financial need or if there's a real burden, you know, there's some type of real, you know, real situation going on. We do that a lot of times, but when's the last time any of us just got before the Lord and said, Lord, teach us to pray? Or when's the last time we got before the Lord and requested of the Lord for something superior? Because let me tell you, there, the request to pray, Lord, teach us to pray, that's a far superior request than, Lord, I need you to pay this bill. The request, Lord, I need you to teach me to pray. Lord, please teach me to pray, as this disciple requests. So that's a far superior request than, Lord, I need you to heal my body or heal this loved one or all those things. Not that those are wrong things to pray for. I'm not saying that those are wrong things to pray for. I'm not saying that they're not even needful things to pray for at times. Those things are needful. As a matter of fact, we're even commanded to pray for various things that we pray for. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I do think that we need to be careful, and we just need to step back and think sometimes, is what are the things that I pray for, the requests that I make of the Lord, are they really the superior things? Is there not something more? Because I tell you, there's few things in our life that are superior to the ability to pray. One thing that we need above most any other thing in life is to know how to pray. And it's one of the greatest needs of God's people, especially in this day. But with everything going on, coming down the last days, the inability to pray effectively, that's a real problem. That is a real problem. It's really a scary thing, and it's a sad thing that people they just don't seem to have the ability to pray and get things done in heaven like the old timers used to. And so it's a superior request. He said, Lord, he didn't say, Lord, meet this need or meet that need. He didn't say, Lord, make me more like this preacher down the road. Lord, make us more like that church down the road. Lord, how can we do this? How can we do that? No, he said, Lord, will you teach us to pray? Teach me to pray. It's a superior request. Then a specific request. Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Now, this verse specifically is taught from really two different standpoints. The first standpoint deals more with the actual activity of praying. In other words, from the standpoint that this disciple here is requesting the Lord that he be taught how to pray, the actual activity of it, And we do need to be taught that. I mean, as a child, I was taught how to pray. I was taught to and I was taught to bow my head and close my eyes, and things like that. And of course, we know that there's not necessarily one right or wrong way to do it. And if you're not careful, you need to get more into religious, activity than anything. But there is kind of, there's the activity part of it that we need to know how to pray. And we need to be taught what it is to pray and when to pray. And the Bible even tells us, what we should pray for. We need to be taught that. Matter of fact, Romans 8, they said over there the Roman church said, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. In other words, we ought to know what we should pray for, but we don't know. And we need to be taught those things. And so it deals with the activity of praying. But then the other aspect of it would be dealing with the attitude of praying. In other words, he didn't say specifically to the Lord, he didn't say teach us how to pray. He just said teach us to pray, just simply teach us to pray. And one thing's for sure, probably in all of our lives, we don't pray enough. I doubt very seriously that any of us would be able to say that as we look at our lives that we pray enough like we should. And I know that I would have to say that I don't. I know that I don't pray enough. And I know that this is an area that I need to work on in my life. And I pray that Lord will help me. I even pray, Lord, help me in these days with it to pray. I say this, with everything going on, I have prayed more than I used to pray. And it's funny, isn't it, something how the Lord, bringing things like this into our lives will cause us to be more spiritual. And that is a blessing. All things work together for good to them that love God. All things aren't good, but they work together for good to them that love God. And one thing that this, everything that's going on has worked together for good in my life, it's caused me to pray more. I've prayed a lot more in recent weeks. But one thing we all could say is that we certainly all don't pray enough. But we need to be instructed and inspired to pray more. And that's what he said. Teach us simply to pray, is what he said. And that's the that is one of the fundamental needs of every soul, of every living being. That is one of the fundamental needs, is that we have the ability to pray, to commune with God. And so the specific request. And then last of all, I'll say very quickly, it was a supported request. The last thing he said was, he said, Lord, teach us to pray. But then he says, as John also taught his disciples. So this disciple of Christ had noticed where John the Baptist had taught his disciples to pray. And he had obviously noticed them praying and seen them praying. And so John taught his disciples to pray. So therefore, Christ's disciples wanted Jesus to teach them to pray too. And I'll say this about that. Well, John the Baptist, of course, he was a real blessing. The Lord said there was none greater born of woman than John. And John was a real blessing. And we really need more men, more Christians in general today, like John the Baptist. We need more pastors and more preachers. And again, just men in general, like John the Baptist, more dads and husbands like John the Baptist, in a sense that they will teach believers about prayer. Today, it is church people in churches. You know, being a pastor seems like nowadays is all about promotion and having the man that is a people person and can promote and build the work, you know, and is charismatic and all those things. And it seems like we've lost the days where there's the importance of focusing on teaching people and inspiring people to pray, be a man of prayer. And we've seen those even in recent years gone by. I think about men like Percy Ray and different ones who they're known in their life as being men of prayer. And you know what that did for a lot of people? People saw that in their life, and they saw the effect it had on their life and how God used their life. And what it did was it inspired them to pray. It taught them to pray. They looked at them, they saw them pray, and they said, you know what? I need to be praying too. If God can use them working their life that way with them praying, God can do the same thing for me. I tell you, we need men like that, like John the Baptist and like other men through the years who have inspired people and taught people how to pray. And it goes, again, beyond pastors and preachers. It goes into the home where we need fathers and husbands who will teach their families to pray. Where their families look at their life and see how the Lord has, you know, really worked in their family and in their home and in their life and in the lives of their dad and the life of their husband because of what a man of prayer he is, where they see him praying. And where children see their mother praying, they see the power of God, see how God's worked. And I'm sure we all could probably say, those of us that came up in Christian's home, we can look back through the years and boy, so many testimonies have been said. You know, folks looking back on their parents, talking about that their mother that prayed for them and remembering the prayers that were prayed by their mother, by their father, and all those things. I tell you, we need that. We need people that will teach others to pray. And so the support for the request, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. Would to God that somebody would be on their knees asking God one of these days, Lord, teach me to pray in the way that you taught Brother Jacob to pray. And would to God that that would be your testimony. That ought to be our desire, not for our glory, but for the Lord's glory, that he could use us to inspire somebody else, that somebody somewhere down the road could see the power of God, how he's worked in our lives, and come before the Lord and say, Lord, teach me to pray as you taught this person to pray. And so may the Lord help us to spark interest, to be spirit-filled, controlled. May God help us to be a people of prayer in these days. That's what's going to get us through these days. That's where we're going to see the hand of God moved and work, is whenever we become people of that prayer. So as we close tonight, I just want to say that maybe as we close, I'd recommend getting there with your family and praying and request, make this same request to the Lord tonight. Pray that the Lord would teach you to pray. Teach you and your family, your wife, your husband, your children, that the Lord would teach you to pray and help you to be the prayer warrior that He wants you to be in these days. Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You for Your blessings, for being so good to us. Thank You, Lord, for loving us. Father, I thank You for helping us with the Word tonight. Lord, I know it's brief and simple, but Lord, I do believe it's what You wanted us to say. And Lord, I pray that You would help us, Lord, to have the hearts. Help us, Lord, to be the people of prayer that You want us to be, Lord, especially in these days. And Lord, we know that prayer changes things, and prayer, Lord, has done big things. And Lord, You can do mighty things through prayer. And so, Lord, I pray that You'd help us to take advantage of the blessing it is to be able to pray. We know that it's all because of Jesus, Lord, that we're able to walk boldly into the throne room of grace. And so, Lord, I thank You for that, and I pray that You would use us in a mighty way, Lord, to be people that are standing in the gap for the world and for the lost, Lord, by means of prayer. Bless us now in Christ's name. Amen.